ability to admit what you don't know and to go and learn what the answer is. In the face of pressure to try to get you to change, you want to build a culture that always maintains some level of exploration.
So hello folks, welcome to the New Age Podcast again. Today's guest is none other than Brant Cooper. He is a New York Times bestselling author of The Lean Entrepreneur. Of that, he's the CEO of Move the Needle. Mr. Brant, thank you so much for being here on the New Age Podcast.
All right, thank you for having me.
Let's start with the podcast. You know, so first, about your new book, I want to ask you the question. What do you mean by disruption? As per the title, you know, it said that disruption proof. So can you explain it to our audience?
Yeah. So we've all been, our lives have been disrupted by the pandemic. When most people talk about disruption, they're thinking about startups that going, you know, taking over a market from a big incumbent. but I actually think that the issue that's facing most of us is not that. It's not that we need to go and invent something new inside of big companies, but rather that those companies are managed and structured based upon the industrial age, and we don't live in the industrial age anymore. We're living in a new world where I believe that disruptions like the pandemic are going to continue to happen on a regular basis. Just here, you know, in San Diego, we had a ransomware attack that took out a hospital system. We've had energy grid collapses. We've had ships stuck in canals that disrupt global supply chain. So we're so interconnected in the world today that these things ripple through our economy, ripple through the business. And so disruption proof is a way for startups as well as big companies to reimagine how they run and organize their work in order to be more resilient in the face of endless disruptions.
Yes. And if you see, you know, these are the things that talk about uncertainty. So what do you think, how today's startup and companies should be prepared for the uncertainty? Because pandemic is not new. I mean, it can happen again in coming decades or something.
Yeah, startups naturally deal with uncertainty better, right? Because when you begin a business, you have a lot of ideas, but you don't really know if the ideas are true or not, right? So that's uncertainty. The problem is that most mentors and advisors and investors very quickly try to get the startup to act like a big company, whereas the big company doesn't know how to deal with uncertainty. And so I think that what's important to founders and startups is that they maintain that exploration ethic that they have, this ability to admit what you don't know and to go and learn what the answer is. And so you have to hold on to it. And so in the face of pressure to try to get you to change, you want to build a culture that always maintains some level of exploration.
Yes. And talking about exploration only, you know, if you see last book that was a very famous book, again, became Lean Entrepreneur, which later became the New York Times bestselling. Here in Asian continent, in India also, people wanted to read that book. When I researched about you before the podcast, then I talked about a couple of people and I asked them, have you heard about this book, Lean Entrepreneur? They said, yes, man, I have read that book many times. And when I talk about them, I said that Mr. Brant, he's going to release another book that is coming in September only. So his question was like, did this book is related to pandemic or, about the title, you know? So can you explain a little bit deeper in terms of disruption proof? So do you mean that this book is going to show a startup a way to escape certainty or something?
Yeah, well, so it's the book is mostly, I think, for big corporations because they don't do the exploration very well. You're right. The Lean Entrepreneur is a deep dive into how to do exploration mode. That's what Lean Entrepreneur is. And so disruption proof is really more making the case that you always have to do some amount of exploration mode. And so the books go together. Lean Entrepreneur is a very deep dive how to. The Disruption Proof is making a case that you always have to do some amount of exploration mode in order to deal with the uncertainty. There's other elements other than just exploration mode. There's developing empathy, not just empathy for customers, but for employees. And there's trying to find the right balance or an equilibrium between execution, you know, the things that you know you have to get done, and that exploration mode, and using evidence to make decisions. So concentrating on the right metrics, and then also applying ethics into your business. And again, that startups need to build that into their culture, and then you have to actively and purposefully maintain that.
Yes. So you also talked about, you know, in the coming book, you know, you talk about four phases. The first phase is, I think, a kickstart, and then it goes along with the last phase, that is acceleration mode. So can you, you know, talk about the kickstart phase so that people get, you know, get idea about that mode, the kickstart mode?
Yeah. So, you know, again, startups kind of do this naturally. They have to focus on driving impact on the business. They can't spend a lot of time doing nothing. Big corporations actually spend a lot of time doing things that don't drive impact for the business. And so the idea of kickstarting is trying to urge leadership to just get a program going in the big companies. Don't overplan. Don't spend all your time planning to go do something. Just go do it. And the idea is to form, it's like form a bunch of internal startups to drive near-term impact, to make changes in the business near-term in order to demonstrate that this exploration mode works, in order to demonstrate that you can actually increase efficiency and you can make your workers more productive and happier by allowing them to work this way. For the startups, I think that they naturally want to deal this way, but there's some structure that you can add to it. I talk a lot about in the new book, I talk a lot about agile principles. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of agile that is, when it's scaled, it's sort of the principles get forgotten and it's more about the structure. And I think the principles of agile should, again, be everywhere in the company. So what a startup can do is make sure that you have a team of people. So you're not managing individuals, you're managing a team. And that team has a mission. And you have specific ways you're measuring the progress that that team is making. And then that becomes the basis of how you structure your company. When you grow, you add more teams. Mm-hmm. So I really want people to think in terms of a team rather than in individuals.
Yes. So talking about impact, so do you think impact is, I mean, in company is only, if the company want to make impact, there is only way that is a corporate social responsibility or anything else apart from that?
Yeah, so I'm not even talking about social impact. I'm talking about just improving the business. I think if companies want to do social impact, they should. They should feel free to. It's actually also just good business. And so I think that they definitely should go do it if it is positive for the business. I don't know how things are in your neck of the woods, but I don't think we're going to convince a bunch of US corporate CEOs that they have to go now do good in the world. So I think we have to kind of build some of that into the system. And I think that there's ways that we can increase the power of workers and consumers and shareholders that sort of make the CEO themselves want to do the right thing.
So, you know, the people who are listening to this podcast, I mean, mainly they are a college student, or most of them, they are working currently. I mean, for some people, they want to pursue MBA and some startup also, some CEOs and new people, they are listening to the podcast in Indian market. So what are your advice if someone is starting this new company and how they can, I mean, start the workflow very first, and that is accessible for people, especially the bottom people who are working in the narrow zone?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost my first answer for everything. You have to go understand those people. You have to get away from your keyboard and go outside and talk to people and observe them and figure out what are the needs that they have that you can address with your business. Understand their aspirations, understand what they, you know, what they're hoping to do in their lives, and see if there's a way that you can benefit them. It's hard for a lot of people to do that. They would rather stay inside and think about things than rather go out there and experience them and observe them. Or they'll ask somebody else about them, you know, and it's best to just go to go see for yourself.
Yes.
So there's a phrase, a Japanese word from lean manufacturing, Genchi Genbutsu. And it, what it means is to go to the source. So whenever there's a problem or a need or an issue, you go to where that is happening, because that's where you're going to learn the most about it. And that's where you're going to understand the environment and the context, right? There's all of these other things that you need to learn about a problem in order to solve it. It's not just the specific thing itself. It's broader context.
Talking about that only, what do you think about remote work? Because remote work is in trending, especially after the pandemic. And can the corporation maintain the remote work, I mean, balance and efficiency with that?
Well, I mean, they've been forced to do it over the last year. So it kind of shows that they can do it. I think it's an interesting issue because I don't think it's binary, you know? And so I think that it's like I've run, my company has always been a remote company. But I miss my people and I miss the social aspect of it. And oftentimes younger people actually, yeah, they want to go and work from everywhere, anywhere. That's great. But they also want to see, be recognized. They want mentoring. They also often want some social aspect. Leadership, who supposedly is anti-work from home, you know, they're tired of the commute maybe if they have to, and they have a really nice home office. So they're happy at home. So I think that, again, the problem is that companies feel like they have to do one policy. And again, it's this top-down command and control driven policy. They actually don't even go seek out. They don't go develop empathy for their own employees. So they don't understand, you know, why do people want remote work? So I actually think that the best way to solve it is to form teams and allow the teams to decide where they're going to work for them. And if they can go into a co-working spot every once in a while, that's great. If they want to come into the business sometimes, that's great. And if they want to work from home, then my responsibility as a manager or a leader is that they accomplish their goals. Yeah. So as long as they're accomplishing their goals, I don't care where they're doing it from. So I kind of don't understand why people don't have that mentality. If you can get your work done, Vikrant, why do I care where you're doing it?
Yes. So do you think remote work can be the next big thing, or
I think it's here to stay. I think that there always will be, it'll end up evolving into some sort of a hybrid approach. I think some companies will enjoy saving a lot of money on real estate prices. Other ones will feel like they've already invested in the real estate, and so they want people to come in. So there's not going to be, you know, it's not one size fits all. There's going to be differences, but it's here to stay.
Yes. And what do you think about innovation? I mean, people, you know, heard this word itself. They are going to confuse and they are going to, you know, interpret it with this word innovation means and all. So what do you think if some companies or corporation want to do innovation, how they can do it?
It's just a buzzword. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything to corporations, I don't think. It means something different to everybody. So I don't even know what it means anymore. I think that innovation for most of the industrial age, for most of the 20th century, innovation meant invention that really worked, invention that created products that people wanted. So it was creating value at scale. That was what innovation was. But invention is not that important to most companies, right? Most companies don't have to invent new technology. Most companies leverage existing technology.
Yeah.
So a lot of the innovation practices that we have are based upon invention, not on innovation. the mindset is really what the book is about. Disruption Proof is about everybody getting an innovation mindset. So I think the mindset is important for everybody to have, because consumers are changing their minds all of the time, and we have to understand that. And supply chains are being disrupted, so we have to be smart and innovative in order to work our way around that. If a pandemic comes and rolls through and we lose our core business, we lose our revenue and our customers, we have to be innovative in order to figure out how we can get our revenues back, how we can actually pivot and try something new. So the mindset is clear. And so can corporates do this? A lot of corporates proved that they could during the pandemic. They started one way, the pandemic hits, and they were able to change their way of working in the face of the pandemic. And so to me, that's modern corporate innovation, is can you take in new information and then change your plans based upon that new information?
Talking about, innovation, and you said, information. If you see right now, 21st century, information is everywhere, information and both misinformation. So in this age, how we can make a decision, a good decision?
Yeah, well, so again, it's not based upon thinking harder, right? I mean, both again, it's sort of the...
And information, can make decision, anyone like as in the startups and the big corporations.
Yeah, people love to talk. And so, even with new information, they'll sit around a table and they'll talk as if the answer will suddenly emerge from how many words are expressed. And it just doesn't work that way. The answer is out there. The answer is out with people. And so I think that the type of information evidence that I'm talking about is not, Googling what the iPhone share is in the market. That's who cares? It's not old school market research. It's gleaning insights from your customers. It's running experiments. Like if you have a disagreement with a colleague, design an experiment that you can run where the outcome, you guys both agree to abide by the outcome. So that's using evidence to help you and make decisions. So design experiments in order to get new data in that answers questions that you have or overcomes conflict. So it's how we cut through our assumptions and our biases. We have to recognize that we all come with biases. And so you're looking for data outside that doesn't confirm your bias, but that actually challenges it.
So there is a lot uncover in the book. So with that, where people can bought the book in India? Can we get the book from Amazon or Audible or something?
Yeah, so it's not out until November 9th, but it'll be through all bookstores. All bookstores can order it. Amazon for sure will be available there.
Okay.
And people can go to BrantCooper.com as well. I've got some book bundles there, but I think it's very difficult for me to ship to India. So it's probably not a good idea.
I think we'll go with Audible and Amazon for now. And anyone, if you need the books, you can actually visit the Brant Cooper website. I will put his website in the show note. You can also visit there and check his LinkedIn bio as well, LinkedIn profile as well. Last question, Mr. Brant Cooper. So what is the one impact you want to make with the book or with your life that is the question I ask normally the show.
Yeah, well, so there's a couple of things. One is all of the work that my company did about teaching large enterprises how to work this way. The employees start out, they're very scared because they don't want to go talk to customers and they don't want to deal with uncertainty because it scares them. But by the time we're done, 90% of them never want to go back to the way they were working before. So working sort of entrepreneurially with that innovation mindset is a fun way to work. It exercises your intelligence and your creativity, and it makes you want to work. So I think that So part of the impact I'm hoping to have is people should be able to enjoy their time at work. We spend so much time at work that we should make it a place that we can, we're allowed to be social, we're allowed to manage our own time, and we're allowed to use our intelligence and our creativity to drive impact for the business. Those are all winning conditions, right? And so the second part of it is that a lot of businesses have forgotten how to compete based upon value. So they acquire companies, they break the laws, they don't adhere to the rules of capitalism. And so, you know, everything is about creating cheaper products with cheaper labor that don't work as well. And it's, we've just forgotten that the whole purpose of what we do is to create value for other people through our products. And so if we can teach companies how to do that again, then it makes for a better world. It raises the level of living for everybody. It bolsters the middle class. It's what makes countries strong.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, in some small way that that I can help businesses get back to that and hopefully we'll have companies that are creating value in the world again.
Yes. Thank you so much again, Mr. Brent Cooper, for me being here on News Podcast. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good to talk to you.